Welcome to Authentically Moms. I'm Jacqueline.
And I'm Sajata. And nothing's off limits, and we keep it real.
Hi, tribe. It's us. We're back in the studio. We're recording on a new platform. I'm super excited about it.
I know.
I know you're not used to it. I do all the editing, but I'm like fucking so excited about it.
Yeah, it'll make it will sound a lot better, right?
Yes, yes.
More. Sometimes I'm listening to myself, it's like, oh gosh, I don't even want to hear myself.
Yeah, but I feel like everyone does that. I feel like whenever someone hears themselves, they can't stand it.
Yes.
But I'm like that too.
Do you do that same thing?
The podcast, not so much. I don't know. I've gotten used to it. But on a voicemail, or if I just like record something, I just hear myself back like on a video.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it.
Mm-mm.
So how you been? What's going on?
I'm
4th of July.
4th of July.
I can't believe it.
What?
Do you think June went by fast or slow?
It went by so fast, like a blink of eye. Like it just went by so fast.
So I feel two things at the same time. I feel like it went by so fast, but also we did so much. Like I did so much in that time. So you would feel like it would seem the opposite.
Right.
But no, yeah.
I feel like it goes by fast. And someone just said we're halfway already
through summer.
Done. Yeah, halfway through summer already.
My gosh.
So I think we have only like 6 more weeks until school starts.
You're right.
Yeah, that's what someone said. I was like, oh, it's already halfway. I haven't even got like my daily chore list, all that stuff.
You mean for yourself or your kids?
For my kids and myself, for both of us. But we're just kind of letting summer
go
with the flow, which you should, I know.
Well, I also feel like this summer for you, it's the first time that you've worked in a long time.
By myself with the kids.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been put these parameters on the iPad and they come in and they're like questing on my phone. 15 more minutes.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, and it keeps going the whole time. I'm like, oh my gosh. But, you know, I just sat here in your room.
Recording my new studio.
I'm going to call it out, but I just see, I think y'all had some mad sex last night because I see.
Oh my gosh.
Chaz's underwear and a bright orange shirt on his side of the bed.
Well, that's
y'all didn't wait.
Stuff.
Y'all did not wait.
Okay,
it's been
it
a week.
I haven't seen him for a week. Oh, that's right.
Jacqueline's like, I've been getting mine, but Chaz has
it. Because I've been doing some vibrator research, so I'm good. I mean, it doesn't replace the real thing, but I've had some really great, amazing orgasms, so I haven't really been missing much. But
he was probably like. I can really tell by the way things.
Yeah.
I came to get my water bottle. I was like, ooh, I see some underwear boxes here.
I should have picked those. I didn't even think about that. But okay.
So, wait, did y'all use this pillow? Because
no.
I just picked up a pillow.
No, you did not. We did not use that pillow. We have a designated sex pillow that we keep in the hallway closet. So Donovan is at sleepaway camp. And his first week at sleepaway camp, Chaz was out of town all those days.
Uh-huh.
And so we're trying to jam pack nightly date nights, not necessarily going out every night, but like doing something special that we normally wouldn't do on a weeknight. And so yesterday was his night for cooking for me. So he actually cooked a 4-course dinner for me.
What?
Yes.
What did he cook? Oh, I'm going to ask the same question. Do you cook for him too?
No. He came up with the date nights.
So he's in. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So.
What he's going to do for
he
you.
He cooked for me. He was a cheese plate, wedge salad, steak, and then he picked up Cheesecake Factory cheesecake. He gave me some champagne. We finished that, and then he gave me some red wine, and we finished that. I mean, what
he's
was
like
the next
moving
was
in.
Sex. That's,
yeah, the next one, I was going to say, he's like, let me.
Actually, it's 5 courses. Well, tonight we are going out to a really nice dinner in Dallas.
So it's expected again. Is that 2 days in a row?
Yeah. And then I'm sure tomorrow.
I'm going to ask you tomorrow. Okay.
So what he has planned out for me is some sex gummies.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So even if I was, he was a very strategic planner because let's say I was tired for 2 nights straight. The fact that I'm going to have a sex gummy the 3rd night. He knows I'm going to want to have sex the 3rd night.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So he has something planned for today also.
Well, I'm sure we'll have sex again when we come home from dinner. But keep in mind, we won't be having sex at the lake house from Thursday to Sunday.
Why not?
Because everyone's going to be there.
It's okay. They're sleeping.
No.
Are y'all that loud?
No. No, but Breslin sleeps in our room there, and I'm sure Laurel may or may not.
Nala's in your room.
But she doesn't count. I'm sure you have sex in front of Chai.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's put it out to our listeners.
Yeah.
Do they have sex in front of their, with their dogs on their bed or in the bedroom in general? Like,
what
in
are
the
you
same
supposed
room?
To, like, yeah, we do.
Or do they kick it out, kick them out? Or if, like, you don't own a dog, do you think that's weird? Or you would be like, you know what?
I think
that's
people who don't own
weird.
A dog probably are maybe, like, weirded at the beginning. But then after that, like, who cares? Because I know Bob was weirded out at the beginning.
Yeah. But then what
I'm
are
like,
you going
to
do? What Nala will do is, like, scratch at the
yes!
door the whole time and bark. So it's kind of like,
you're waking everybody up.
It's awkward anyway. I mean, if she chooses to stay on the bed normally, she gets kicked off because we're everywhere. But, you know, she just knows what's going down.
She's got a bed here, there, up there.
But so Jada's like, Nala, what did your mommy and daddy do last night?
I know.
He got busy.
Well, it looked like it was rough back here. Well, I mean, his shirt, jeans are right here. His shirt's right there.
Okay, but he's a dude. He puts his shit everywhere. Like, well, it's not supposed to be. But I should have picked up the boxers. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Anyway, back to our scheduled program. What I wanted to talk about, I read an article recently in the Daily Mail. It was, do you know what that swingers use pineapples?
Yes. Okay. I found that out. Yes.
Yes. Now, or I don't know how new it is, but I saw it recently, is that they're starting to use loofahs.
You told me about
loofahs.
That. Uh-huh.
And so what they do is they tie them to their car.
Oh, okay.
So if you see a loofah by like a luggage rack or a tent or just anywhere, that's a sign. And it depends on the color, like how fluid they are.
But where do they put in the car? Inside the car?
I think it's outside. I think it's outside. I saw pictures of them outside, but I'm sure like they're not going to be able to get pictures from someone's inside car. So white means novices and beginners. Purple is a voyeur and people who like to watch. So at the end of this, you tell me which one you are. The pink is soft swap. I don't know what that means. People who like to do it with others in the room. Blue is the lowest, gosh, so many, the lowest level of full swap. Those who can play well with others. Yellow is a mild level swap for those who want to have fun but still are nervous. Black is full swap. Those who say, what the hell, let it all go down. And teal is bisexual for those who want to increase their dating chances.
But this is for swingers though, right?
Yes.
So when you say a full swap and a mild swap, what's the difference?
I have no idea. I'm
That's
not a
weird.
Swinger.
What, like you either swap or you don't swap.
Well, I feel like mild swap. Maybe it's a base kind of thing. Maybe you just like make out and grab booms. Maybe the intermediate is, I don't know, foreplay and oral. And then full swap is maybe
all
of it. Or maybe it's just one of the partners is swapping out. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking know.
Well, we don't have any friends that.
Well, we'll have to see now that I know this.
We're going to be scouting everyone's car. I got to see where
they
put it.
Why do you have these random loofahs in your fucking car?
Oh my gosh.
You know what's crazy is that when I had this, when I read this article is that I have a loofah and I was like, you know what? I don't know when the last time I changed my loofah out. And so I was like, oh, I should probably change out soon. Fucking no lie. While I was using it and thinking that, it came apart. It unraveled. And you know,
like,
that shit
is what
long.
Is it, you manifested that?
Yeah. I was like, damn, can I manifest like a fucking $100 million? I don't want
can
a broken loofah.
Can I manifest my young skin?
So I hosted a ladies' lake weekend.
Yes.
And you had some problems going.
I did. I had, my anxiety had taken over me.
Yeah.
And I think it was leading up to it, but I kept telling my mind. It was going on for a week before, but I'm like, I don't think on the weekdays I just work, right? And I can just stay home. But whenever it came that time, my anxiety just even, because I had to get up and go, right?
Yeah.
It just did not allow me to make any moves. I stayed in bed.
Well, let's go back a little
go
bit
ahead.
Because like if you have been a follower, you know that at the beginning of the year, Sujata had a breast cancer scare and it was all good. It's negative, but now she has to get them every 6 months. And so I think when it comes again, this is your 6 months.
Yes, my 6 months. I went to see a therapist afterwards and I haven't thought about it negatively because everything was already negative. There was nothing to worry about. But it was the week leading up to it and that anxiety just crept it. You have no control. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like thinking about it. But when you have that anxiety, you start to think the negative. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, you just start to worry in general.
In general. But like I didn't worry and the anxiety started. That anxiety just came in full force. And so I was keeping myself super busy with work, but I can tell like the small things. I didn't want to go out doing anything. My friend's birthday, I didn't go out. I stayed home. And then, of course, I didn't come out to your ladies' day at your lake house. So the anxiety has come. I'm trying to control it, but it's pretty hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah, it's just triggering. Just because you've been there before and it was negative and you know how to deal with it, that's why they call them triggers. For you, it's not necessarily like a physical place. It's that appointment is triggering because of everything that you felt about it last time.
In the phone calls, like following up, like confirmation, that triggered me when Baylor Scott calls and like, oh my God, what's going on? I'm like, I haven't even gone. So that triggers. Mm-hmm. They called me again because I didn't have that. They didn't put me with the right appointment. They put me at a screening instead of an ultrasound.
So your appointment was supposed to be July 2nd. And now they called you because they scheduled the wrong one.
Yeah, I need an ultrasound, not a. It's the first availability they had July 31st. And I was like, there's no way. So I go, do you have a cancellation list? They don't. They're like, you have to call every day. I was like, well, that's going to cause my anxiety to keep calling that number. And I was spiraling. And what I was doing is it was just a girl who calls and confirms the appointments. But I kept asking her, was there anything on my profile? Do you see anything or whatever? I was just fishing for answers.
Yeah, because you just want some confirmation of, hey, does it just say, oh, routine exam or based on this, this is what we need to do.
Yeah, knowing that I won't get an answer and I know what it is, I was still looking for it. Does that make any sense?
No, it makes complete sense. But what sucks is that your anxiety could have been over this week. You have to now push it out of your mind because it's not for another 3 weeks. Because you can't function in this state and being triggered for the next 30 days.
No. It's going to be hard. I asked my therapist if I could come see her this week to see if it can feel any better. But it's hard. I think my mind keeps going to that. And then I'm so sensitive to everybody else's journey. There's a couple of girls that I heard of and, you know, her test came back negative. But it was like her second occurrence that she thought had happened. When she said it was negative, I felt like I can relate.
Yeah.
And I started crying and I'm like, I don't even know this girl. And I was waiting and waiting the whole time. Okay, this is going to sound crazy, but she had come up on Instagram saying that she found that it's a hard spot in that same area where she recovered. She's in remission from breast cancer. And she was spiraling also. She went to the appointment. It was like at 2:15 and I kept checking my Instagram to see her. And then when she came on, she was crying because it was negative and I was bawling.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
No, because it impacts you because you've been there before. You've been in that situation and you know, you're remembering how much of a relief it was for you to get that news because of how on edge you were before then.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to be on edge.
I think so too. But I feel like you have to keep yourself busy and it'll take a lot of effort to not think about that appointment. But the more you keep yourself busy, the more you keep yourself active, I think that that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. And obviously, yes, try to see your therapist. I just feel bad because now you have 3 more weeks to think about it, almost 4 more weeks to think about it. Something that you were already missing things for, and that could have been over this week.
Yes. And I was just ready for it to be like, I can enjoy the rest of the summer, but it's not. So I've got to figure it out. I'm doing daily, multiple times a day, I'm checking myself.
Okay. But also you can't do that because you're going to drive yourself
crazy. That's what I'm saying. I am driving. I know what I'm doing, but I tend to do that so I can get an answer. I'm looking for an answer. That's just how my brain was. I was doing that before and I'm doing that now.
Yeah, but you're not going to get an answer from that because even if you feel something or not, it's not going to tell you that you have something or not.
I know.
Self-sabotage.
So, yeah. But this anxiety is just, that trigger is something else, though. It just overtakes your whole life. So
yeah,
I know it does the same thing with you, too.
Yeah, and that's kind of how we met. I was at a very, very, very low point in my life when all that diagnosis and stuff started to come out with Breslin. And there were some things that I kept myself busy with, like volunteering at the Arboretum, being outside all the time, walking outside. I also volunteered at the animal shelter and walked dogs all the time. Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that one.
I walked dogs and I sat and I played with the dogs. I was with the cats too. Just there's a point where I go back to those places, especially like the Arboretum for concerts and just anything we have to go there for. It's very triggering for me. I have to consciously remind myself and like breathe. I could feel my heart starting to just put myself back into that same headspace and that same time. That will never, those things don't go away.
But it's a 6 month, like,
yeah, I mean, you're talking about this is 4 years removed, 5 years removed from me, and I still get triggered by those things. So it's something that, I don't know, it's a very mental and a very body physical reaction, because it's not just your thoughts, it's your heart, it's your shoulder. It starts all over again.
Your stomach, your just that feeling, the smell, they say. Your body keeps count, right? So it remembers. It just, when you're there, it's all those memories and all those feelings just start coming back.
All the
back.
Experiences and how you felt when you were there.
You know how like music does that to you? Does music, like when you listen to old music, it brings back wherever you were at that time. So to me, it's the same thing, right? Yeah. Like to me, the phone call, the appointment, anything to do with breast.
Yeah.
Like it always comes back. So I don't know. I think it's situational, so it's not Lisa daily thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think it's very specific to a lot of places, because I am not around a lot of people talking about special needs and just diagnosis and stuff. Like, that's not part of our normal environment and day-to-day life. But if I go to those places or pass by those places, I get triggered. But for you, it's harder because people, you're around everyone getting mammograms. You're around everyone getting results. You're around everyone talking about it, whether it's someone they know or a friend. So that's really hard. You have to work harder at that. So it's not really...
It's much more common,
yeah, the
right?
time removed, it's how frequent they come up.
Yes. Which is our daily...
You can't control that.
I need to come up with... I need to tell myself that this is going to be a routinely checkup. This is to prevent anything getting worse.
Yeah. It's not to find out if you have. It's to prevent.
Yes.
Exactly. So it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And I need time. I feel like once I get this, because I've never done the 6 month, I've never done like the ultrasound and all this. I think I feel like after this one, it can kind of be okay.
This is what it will be like.
Yes. It'll be okay. It's just another 6 months. That's once this one's over and it's a good news and everything's okay, then I'll be like, okay, I've got this. I can keep going.
My only request is that maybe you wait 2 months and then you start going again, because this December and July 4th is not working out.
Why?
Because it was like New Year's Eve, New Year's.
Yeah.
And then 4th of July. So you're missing all those things and you're getting
those
yourself.
Are gonna be oh my God.
You're getting yourself freaked out about during that time, and you're not allowing your body to enjoy any of the things.
Yeah.
Any of the events.
And you know, just the holiday is so, like, I enjoy that winter holiday so much. Just all the stuff going on. And it's going to, I haven't gone there yet, but gonna
you need
come
to,
back.
You need to move those appointments.
Like, okay, can I extend it too?
And for me too. I'm not really taking this very well.
Hey, I'm coming. I am coming to your.
To the 4th of July.
Yes, event. Yes, yes, for sure.
I mean, I feel like therapy is really, really good for me personally, because it is part of my daily life. Breslin has special needs and we're always going to have appointments. We're always going to have stuff. We're always going to have, she's had surgery, she's medication, whatever it is. That is my life. So the best thing for me was just medication that I take daily.
Right. Because, and that helps you.
Oh my gosh. I would not be who I was, who I am today without medication. And I'm not in any way trying to promote being on medication or anxiety medication or anything like that. But for me personally, that has been the saving grace for me to be able to function, to be able to take care of myself, take care of my family, be there as a mom, a wife, myself, to start enjoying things again. Because there was a time where I didn't enjoy anything. I didn't drink for almost a year. I didn't go out. I didn't want to go out. There was a, before I didn't want to go out, there was a time where I didn't want to stay in. I had to be outside all the time. So that's why I was doing all those volunteers, being outside, being in the sun. Same thing with seasonal depression. When you have a long winter, you don't see the sun, you get depressed. So the therapist was like, be outside. Be outside as much as you can. Be in the sun. Do stuff outside as much as you can. Because even if you're not feeling the joy from that, it still makes a difference.
To be, it's a natural therapy.
Yeah, exactly. So that, and then obviously not wanting to go outside and do anything.
Do you, when you have to take Breslin to appointments and, you know, her surgeries and all that, when it comes time to have before and afters, does it get triggered, or does the medication actually like help you? That
it really levels everything out.
Really?
And because she goes so often, I don't know what I would do without it. Because it puts me all in a state of action. Like, okay, I'm not going to, there's nothing that I can change about the situation of what is happening. How can we help? How can I help?
So it helps you think practical about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't imagine every time I went to the doctor and then I'm not myself for a whole week. Like, I can't, I have three kids. I can't function that way.
Right.
And I've had to up it two times. And
when did you realize you had to up it? Like, why would?
Yeah. So the first time I upped it was she was getting a little older and there was more. Like, that's when we found out she needed cochlear implants because she couldn't hear. She needed a G-tube because she wasn't putting on weight.
Okay.
So it was a lot of things. And I was like, I can't function like this. And so we upped it. And then after I had Laurel, I kind of maxed out on that medication itself. Mm-hmm. And so they put me on a different medication and I have not had to increase that.
What were some of the, how did you realize, okay, I can understand this first time, but the second time, what made you think?
I was getting more anxious. I was starting to feel, for me, anxiety originates like behind my shoulder blades and it kind of spreads. Like, I just feel like veins coming out. It's the craziest thing.
So it's by your shoulder.
Yeah.
So
my shoulder blades. Yeah.
Up here too?
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then it just like takes over and it starts taking over my arms. Like, it's physically painful. And then I started to really have shorter fuses. So now it's just even keel, right? Like, if someone drops something and a normal reaction would be like, oh my God, what the fuck? I'd be like, it's okay. Just clean it up. It doesn't make you feel high or on medication. It really just levels everything out. I feel like I'm a better mom for it. Not because, okay, don't get me wrong. Let me just try to explain what I'm.
Sure, yeah.
Everybody has natural reactions. I have a lot more triggers than a typical mom would, just because I have a lot more things I need to consider and worry about because Breslin has special needs.
Got it.
I know every mom worries. I know there's going to be stress. I know all that. But if you have, let's say, just put it really simple. If let's say you have 20 triggers a day or stressful events, I have probably 50. So for me to function on someone who probably just has 25, I need that medication so I'm not going crazy.
Got it. Okay.
You know?
I'm really proud of, like, I'm glad that you're able to figure that out and knew that this is what you needed. Sometimes people are not so in touch with themselves and be like, okay, this is happening again. Or maybe you realize, okay, I'm going back to that same spot and I need to do something about it. You know?
Yeah. I really think that people at our age, I mean, we've all gone through shit and we all have stuff.
We don't know. Yes.
And I feel like anyone could benefit from a therapist or talking to someone. When I started getting on medication, I was just like, oh, I don't want to be on medication. I felt before like it was just a cop out, like you couldn't handle your shit. Then when I was admitting to my friends that I started medication, literally all of them were like, bitch, I've been on medication forever. Oh my God, let's normalize it. Let's normalize that we also, in this day and age, we care a lot, not care a lot more. There's a lot more we got to be fearful than our parents back then.
Absolutely.
We were like, when we get home, they'll be back until 8 p.m.
Right.
And it's just parenting is different these days.
So different. And we know so much, gives us so much anxiety.
I feel like
there are some
people who should be and could use some medication, but I like that the awareness of mental health has really come to the forefront, and a lot more people talk about it. And if you still don't feel comfortable talking about it, but just know that you're not alone and that everybody has things that they're on that you don't know. And again, it's the best thing that happened to me being on medication. I'm just glad that we can talk about it and just make people feel like it's okay.
Yes.
And I remember when I went to go get it refilled, because every 6 months I have to go check my hormone levels and stuff. I was like, do you think that maybe I can come off of it at any point? And she goes, you have 3 little kids and one will always be special needs. I do not think it would be a good idea for your mental health to come off of it. I was like,
when
okay,
did you ask that?
I'm like, a year ago, probably 2 years ago. I was just curious if people come off of it. Like,
okay, you know. So can I ask, I didn't know you got checked up every, why do they get you your hormones checked every 6 months?
It's your thyroid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually really good. I didn't know that they.
Oh, yeah. They won't fill your prescription if you don't. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's good. That's a good doctor, whoever you go to.
Oh, I think that happens with anyone, because I hear people talk about it like they're supposed to, unless they just have like a friend who prescribes them.
Prescribes it all the time.
Or whatever. But yeah, really, you're supposed to have it.
I remember whenever, you know, when you talk about anxiety, I had to get on antidepressants. I think we both met at the same time whenever, like, I wanted to be out of the house all the time too. Yeah. So I was out. We just met while we were walking outside. And I remember Bob was anti-medication. He is a biology major. His mom is also in the health department. So they were trying the natural route as much as possible. And there's nothing wrong with that, yeah, the natural route. But when it's not working.
Yeah, when it does not work, you need to recognize that.
Yeah, I was at a friend's wedding. And when I did, that's when Bob is like, we need to get you help immediately. Like, yeah, when we came back home, we went straight to the doctor. Yeah. And we're like, oh no, she needs to be on antidepressants immediately. Like, she cannot function. I can't be left alone.
Oh, that my doctor took one look at me and was like, 1,000%.
Yes.
Medication.
And he was my doctor and Bob's doctor forever. And he's anti-med, but he was like, you need it. Start it right away. And it made a huge difference. I moved in with my mom, though, for a month. And my aunt was coming over to take me to Starbucks to talk. And let me tell you, we chit chat and talk all the time. When she said that, total had a panic attack and like a breakdown.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't know how to handle her just coming over to talk.
No, I know. I've been there. I really have been there.
The medication was amazing.
Here's what I say about
and it helped me. And there's no judgment. Yeah. There's no judgment.
Here's what I say about the whole natural route. There's nothing wrong with that. If you personally, you yourself want to do the natural route, great. Yeah. But I don't recommend making someone else do the natural route because of how you think about it for your own self.
Right. But I think it goes both ways, right? Like, I don't think people who want to do it natural route should be like forced to take medication.
I know, but if you want, I know you said, because I only said that because you said Bob and his mom wanted you to do the natural route.
Yes.
But you needed medication. So did you want to try the natural route?
I already tried the natural route, though. Like, I was trying the natural route, right? I was like letting my body like adjust, being around family. And they just said, hey, it's just part of postpartum.
But it doesn't matter. Postpartum, you need medication.
No. So I had the same thing with Rhea. And so they just said, time will heal. Just be around your family. And so I was doing the same thing. But this one was not with Rhea's. It got better. With Aryan's, it didn't get better. It got worse and worse and worse. And you have to, like, men are so oblivious to these kind of things.
That's what I'm saying.
But when he was like, oh my gosh, we need to get you help immediately, with like 30 people in the house, he noticed me right away. I was pretty bad. So I knew I needed help like immediately. So I did try the natural route, but sometimes the natural route does not work, and you do need a chemical,
of course,
balance,
because
and whatnot.
It's a
there
a
should
point.
Not be any judgment either way.
Yeah, I'm glad we all got to a point where we know what works with us, and now you know what you got to do. It's just a timing thing.
Absolutely, I'm going through something right now, but I'm I'm going to see if it's a situational thing, because yes. that's what I've been told, that it's a situational anxiety. But if I'm living like this after I get a positive result, I mean, a negative result, then there's obviously I need some sort of
yes, help. That's what you can conclude when you know your body so well. You know yes. what's normal behavior for you.
Yeah.
And stuff. But all right. Well, that was our episode. Hopefully it was helpful. If you have any questions about anything that we talked about or have any comments, you can DM us at our Instagram page at Authentically Mom. Make sure you're following us. Continue to tell all your loved ones and friends about our podcast. We appreciate all the love you've given to us, and we will see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Do you, boo.